Okay, so we are holding on Kuf Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom. My line begins Lo Yovin. Okay, so we learned yesterday as follows. You have, good morning, Yaakov. Okay, there we go. Okay, so we're holding on Kuf Beis, Amud Beis, Kuf Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom. We discussed yesterday the question as follows. We said in the Mishnah that the sea or the ocean or the lake or what have you is considered a canvas. So the question is, what happens then if you have a boat that's in this canvas on Shabbos and you want to be able to draw water from the, you want to be able to draw water from the body of water that you're in. It could be a freshwater body and you want fresh water out of it. Could be it's a salty, it's the ocean or what have you, and you want water that you can use to wash dishes or what have you. Anyway, the question is, how do we do that so that you'll be allowed to move, so you'll be able to allow, so you'll be allowed to draw the water from Rishos HaYachid from Kaimelis into your Rishos HaYachid, which is the boat. So we had two opinions. We had Rav Huna said that you have to make a ledge on the side of the boat. And then once you do, then that ledge, so basically what he said in the Gemara, is he says basically the area above the water is really a makom p'tur. Because Kamelis only goes up to 10 tefachim from the ground. We actually measure from the ground of the, from the seafloor or whatever, rather than from the surface of the water. So really, by the time you come to the surface, you're in a makom p'tur anyway. But we need a heker that you shouldn't confuse it with a regular kamelis, and therefore we require you to have this aziz. That's according to Rav Huna. Then we said Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna say that what you actually need to do is you need to make a piece that sticks out four tefachim by four tefachim or more off the side of the boat with a hole in the middle of it, and then you draw your water through that. You stick your, you lower down your bucket into the water through the hole in the middle of that platform, and you pull it up through that platform. That platform is considered, that platform therefore is considered a Rishus HaYachid. So Rashi, we said Rashi learned that it had small walls attached to it. It doesn't have to be 10 fucking tall walls, just small walls attached to it. It's enough. Usually we would say, as we're going to discuss in our Gemara today, that mechitza tluya, that a hanging mechitza, where the walls are hanged above the surface, usually that would not be considered a mechitza. When it comes to water, we're more makel, as we're going to see in today's Gemara. So therefore, So you'll be allowed to do that. It'll be considered a Rishos HaYachid. Tosfos, we said, it argued on that and says it actually has to be walls that are full 10 tefachim tall. The Mechaber, on the other hand, is more lenient and says that you don't need walls at all, just the fact that Kufam and Bay is at the bottom. Just the fact that you have this platform sticking out of 4x4 tefachim is it enough for it to be considered, we consider particular yod besosim as though the edges of it go down and create virtual walls. Okay. And you said the reason why Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna are requiring that.
What's wrong with the boat itself?
That actually, when it comes to considering the sea as a canvas, we measure from the surface of the water, not from the seabed like Rav Huna does. Therefore, when you're drawing the water, you literally are coming through a kamelis, and therefore they require you to have the space that turns it from a kamelis into a Rosh Hashanah. So now this is where we're up to. Eight lines from the bottom of
the
Rabbi.
Rabbi.
He's saying that all you need is a ledge sticking out of the boat. It doesn't even have to have any minimum shear. Just the fact that you have the ledge there is a heter. To not confuse it with a regular canvas. So the problem with that is that's on the assumption that you always have 10 tefachim from the bottom of the seafloor until the top of the water. But do you necessarily? Don't you have the boat has a point which comes the boat has a part which comes to a point and sticks out of the water. So what would happen? So therefore that part of the boat could actually go in shallower water. It could go in water which is less than 10 tefachim deep, and in that case it comes out that you really are carrying from a karmelis into the Shas Yafet. You're assuming, in other words, that the water is always 10 tefachim deep, but it isn't necessarily 10 tefachim deep under the whole boat, because in that part, and then in the prow of the boat, which sticks up above the water, you could be going in that part in shallower water. And then if you're in shallower water, then you are lifting up from a camelus. How is your corner allowing it? Tosfos has a different understanding, according to Ben Hananel, that the Musha over here means not necessarily is the seafloor itself so smooth. It can have bumps in it, so you can have places in it that are less than 10 tefachim deep. So then again, the question is, so it could happen that the place where you're drawing water from happens to be one of those places, and then what are you, and if it happens to be one of those places, then you're drawing from a place that's less than 10 tefachim deep. The answer is, Amar Rapsakra Gashushi Ozli Kamo. The answer is, Rapsakra says, when a boat is going in shallow water like that, then you have people with sticks that are doing soundings in front of it. They won't allow the boat to go into an area which is too shallow because they don't want the boat to ground on it. So now obviously you won't have gashushi when you have a boat that's going in the Mediterranean Sea or in the ocean or something. But okay, there you don't have problems where you have parts that the water might not be 10 tefachim deep. But in places like rivers or lakes or what have you, where there might be such concerns, then you actually have people going in front of the boat and taking soundings and with sticks and making sure that it doesn't go into areas that are too shallow. So according to Rashi's explanation, therefore, the point is that even the prow of the boat won't wind up in such a place because they'll make sure that the boat doesn't go anywhere near it. And according to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Hanano, the idea is that if there's such a place where it's shallow, then they won't have the boat go there. Oh, you know what? I skipped the line. I skipped the line. So Ulrahuna Dama Motia Men is called Shumamali, Zimnin the Lekka Sara. Sometimes you have less than 10 tefachim of depth. Become a talzal mekamelus for the Shas Yachid, and you're carrying from kamelus to the Shas Yachid. Sorry, this is the part that I missed. Amalei, so he says, Gamrinan, sort of Rabbi Baravua answers, we know for a fact that in Sfina Mahalachas, Pachas Me'asara, that a boat will not go in water that is less than 10 tefachim shallow, that is less than 10 tefachim deep. So therefore, we're not talking about a flat bottom boat, which Sfina means a bit of a larger boat. So that kind is not going to go in such shallow water because it's going to end up getting stuck. One way of understanding it, Tosfos says, is it means the water itself has to be a little more than 10 tefachim deep, because you also need room enough to put in your bucket to fill up the water. So if, let's say, your bucket is 2 tefachim tall, then it means your water over there has to be at least 12 tefachim deep, because you need enough room, according to Rav Huna, to be dipping your bucket into it and filling up where your bucket remains in Makom Patur the whole time. And therefore, you only need your ziz because of Heker. Other Rishonim explain that what the Gemara means is that you're always going to have 10 tefachim at least between the bottom of the boat and the sea floor and lake floor or whatever. And that way, in other words, now when you're putting down a bucket to fill up water, you're not going to put it down further down than the bottom of the boat. There'd be no reason to do that. Therefore, you can be guaranteed that you're going to be above 10 tefachim from the ground. So now comes the question, Baha Islam Mursha. Now comes the question that it has, Baha Mursha Islam. Now comes the question that it has a thing that sticks out, which according to Rashi is the front of the boat, and according to Ben Hanano means bumps on the bottom of, or irregularities on the bottom of, the lake, which are going to reduce the amount. And the answer is, Amar Rapsakra, Gashushi, Ozli Kama. And the answer is, Rapsakra says that you have these people with sticks and taking soundings, going in front of it, and therefore they'll make sure that it doesn't get into such shallow water. By the way, I should take a second to mention, by the way, if anybody on the Zoom wants to ask a question or point out that I left out something in the Gemara or whatever, please unmute yourself and ask away. Okay. So now Rav Nachman Reitzchak asked Rav Chiya Ba'Oven another question. Let's go back again. We said that Rav Huna says all you need is a ziz. All you need is a little ledge, and that's a heker, and therefore now you're able to draw water, because according to him, anyway, you're really going from Makom Ptur, and it's only as a matter of heker that you need something else. But according to Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna, they say you actually have to have a makom haba. You have to make this ledge sticking out of the boat 4x4 tefachim and use that to fill and fill up by way of that. The problem with that is shof can be day hechi shadilo. The problem with that is, so how are you going to pour out the dirty water that you have from the boat? You also now why is the question only on them? So one way of understanding it is, We discussed yesterday, when Rav Huna says that you need a ziz, does that mean the ziz is there strictly as a heker, and therefore you are actually allowed to fill up the water, from anywhere on the boat? Rashi learns that way. So in that case, there's not much of a question, because if you can fill up, you don't need to fill up davka from the ziz, so there's no problem. You draw your drinking water in one direction, from one side of the boat, and you pour out your dirty water, your water from washing dishes and what have you, on the other side of the boat, and no problem. But we said yesterday that there were Rishonim, the Meiri, and a number of other Rishonim who learn that what it means is, according to Rav Huna, you actually have to get your water by way of the ziz, because that way at least the ziz is, being that it's less than 4 tefachim wide, is actually a makom ptur, and therefore that you're transporting from Karmelis, according to them, the ocean itself is Karmelis, all the way up to the surface, and 10 tefachim above it. So you're going from Karmelis through makom ptur into Rosh HaSiyachid, and they're saying, okay, usually you wouldn't be allowed to do that, but in this case, the Chachamim are willing to make an exception. Fine, but according to that, then the question would be, if you have to draw the water by way of where the ziz is, then how are you going to, how are you going to do it? You're not going to want to pour out your dirty water in the same area where you're drawing your drinking water. So that's one way of understanding the question. According to that. So shofchin didei hechi shadi lahu. So how are you throwing out the dirty water that you need to if you have to pour it out right there? You're going to say you'll just pour it in the same place. You're taking your drinking water. Can't. You're going to make the water disgusting. You're not going to want to do that. The answer is, another way of understanding the question, by the way, is that maybe Rav Huna would say, okay, look, since we only need the ziz in the first place because of a heker, then fine, we're willing to allow you, in order to pour out your dirty water, you're not going to need any special heker for that, just in order to draw your water. But according to Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna, that you're actually required to have this makom haba al haba, because if you're not, you're carrying from Karmelis. So according to them, you would have the same din. You are actually carrying from Rishus Yochid to Karmelis when you pour out your water. So how do you do that? And now, of course, the answer could be that you just make two places 4x4. But the Ritzvah, it's fine. The Gemara is assuming the Chacham are not going to be matriach you to make two different ledges of that 4x4 with a hole in the middle, one to get your clean water and one to pour out your dirty water. So according to them, how do you do that? Okay. So the answer...
If the boat is anchored and there's any current, this is in a lake where there's no current.
I guess we're talking about a lake where there's no current, and we're talking about the fact that the boat is anchored for Shabbos, yeah. The answer is, d'shadilahu adasna d'sfina. The answer is, okay, what he can do with the dirty water, he can pour it on the side of the boat. Either that means he pours it on the top and it dribbles down the side, or it means to begin with that he pours it on the top outside of the boat. Whatever the case, it goes into Karmelis. Now, even though that's coming from Koichoi, so the question is, Vahoika Koichoi, what do you mean? He's not pouring it directly into Karmelis, but it's winding up there from his Koyach. The answer is Koichoi, but Karmelis, like Gozru, fine, but the Chachamim did not make a Gzera when it comes to Koichoi, when it comes to Karmelis. If you reduce it to thing with your Shishtei Rabim, then it would be also where you're causing something that you're doing something which is going to cause something wind up going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. You can't do that. But over here, where it's only Karmelis, then the Chachamim are willing to be makel on that. Actually, Tosfos points out, even when it comes to Karmelis, that Rabbanan are not always makel, but something like this. The difference being, Tosfos says, you have cases where sometimes you could have it near Rosh Hashanah and sometimes near Karmelis, so the Chachamim are going to make a gzeira. But over here, by definition, the sea is always Karmelis, therefore we have no problem, allowing you to do that. Okay. So the Gemara says, when we're where do you get that distinction, that koichai b'karmelis is not a problem? So Titania, we learn in a b'raisa, sfina, again, when it comes to a boat, as we're talking about, ein metalfel in loy metoicha l'yam v'loy min ayam l'toicha, you're not allowed to carry from it into the sea, like pouring out your dirty water, v'loy min ayam l'toicha, or pouring from the yam into it, or taking from the yam into it, like we said, like drawing water, for example. Rav Yehuda makes a distinction as follows. Amuka asara ve'en voya asara. If the boat is 10 tfachim deep, but it's not 10 tfachim high. Meaning, in other words, that from the floor of the boat until the top of the sides of the boat is 10 tfachim, but the boat itself is partially sunken into the water, as boats usually are, and therefore from the surface of the water until the top of the side of the boat, you don't have 10 tefachim. So then, Rabbi Yehuda says, then you would be allowed to pour things from the boat into the yam, for example, pouring out the dirty water, which, as we're going to say, means now you're pouring it on the edge, on the edge of the side of the boat and dribbles down. But not from the yam into the boat, because there's no way to do that without koichai. Then you're going to be doing that directly of necessity. So we have to figure out what's the difference. Why would it be different if he's going from the sea into the boat to draw water and put it into the boat? And we're saying deloy, you're not allowed to do that. Because the problem is that then you're transferring from Karmelis into Rosh Hashanah, and you're doing it directly, there's no koichai involved. On the face of it, the Gemara is assuming, for purposes of the question, that we're not talking about pouring something on the edge of the boat and having it dribble into the water. We're talking about directly taking a bucket and pouring it over the edge into the sea. So in that case, don't you have the same problem? You're going from Rosh Hashanah to Karmelis. So why is Rabbi Yehuda allowing one and not the other? El alav achuda. Obviously, therefore, the distinction has to be that we're talking about that you're pouring it on the edge of the boat. That you're pouring it on the edge and it's full and it's dribbling down into the water on its own. And therefore, there's the obvious difference that when it comes to drawing water, you can't do that. There's no way to draw water from the sea without actually doing it directly, not through koichai, as opposed to when you're pouring down from the boat into the water, then you're able to do it by means of koichai. So then it means ushmamina koichai b'karmelis le'gazru. So we see from that we're not making a gzera when it comes to using koichai in a karmelis. So therefore, that proves that distinction. Now, of course, the obvious question is, so what? Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says that. The Chachamim disagree with him. How are we bringing a proof from Rabbi Yehuda when the halacha is not even necessarily like him? I mean, the halacha may well be like him, but okay. So what? The Chachamim argue with him. So Tosfos discusses like this. The basic question is as follows. Given that this boat, the boat itself is Rosh Hashanah, no question about it, because you have 10 tefachim depth from the top edge of the boat until the bottom. We're going to see the next thing we're going to talk about in the Gemara is where the boat narrows towards the bottom, whether it has the same din. But here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about a boat where for at least the distance of 10 tefachim, the whole thing, we're talking about a boat that doesn't come to a point at the bottom, the thing that, a flat bottom boat, basically. Like a barge or something. So therefore, so there's no problem of the things that we're going to discuss soon about Mechitza Tluya or whatever. So for sure, the boat is Rosh Hashanah, no question about that. Now, the question is, though, let's consider when the boat is partially sunk into the water. So you have, let's say you have the rims of the boat, the top edges of the sides of the boat. Let's say five or six tefachim off the surface. So now what happens is that Rabbanan are going to say, look, when you're drawing water, what are you doing then? If we take the view that you measure the caramelist from the surface of the water, then it comes out. You're still going through. So sort of Yehuda rather is saying, then it comes out that you're going through, the whole time through caramelist, because you have to lift up the bucket a little bit over the side in order to get it in. But fine, the side is still below 10 tefachim. So you're lifting up the bucket the whole time you're within 10 tefachim. Therefore, you have a problem. If the situation was that the sides of the boat extended 10 tefachim or more above the surface of the water, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that there would be no problem in drawing water into it, because then you're going through Makom Ptur. To be exact, what Tosfos says is something like this. In the case that we're discussing over here, where the boat is less than 10 tefachim tall, there is actually no machlokes. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are going to agree that you can't draw water in such a way because you're going to be going through caramelus. The question would be the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So even though, in other words, we only brought part of the braisa over here, when Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing is when the sides of the boat are more than 10 tefachim above the surface. There you're going to have, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, fine, then in that case, when you pick up the bucket and you go over the sides, then you're going over 10 tefachim. So you're in Makom Ptur. So, okay, you're going from caramelus to Makom Ptur to Rosh HaYachid, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to say you're allowed to do that. It's one thing with Rosh HaYachid, I say you can't do that, but here, caramelus is only the Rabbanon, therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow it, and the Chachamim still won't. So we see, therefore, that the Chachamim also agree with this concept that there's a difference between doing it via dayim, namely when you're drawing water, versus doing bekoichai when you're pouring the water onto the side of the boat, because they're only arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, where the situation is that you're drawing the water by way of Makom Ptur, but they agree with the basic concept that you can't go directly from caramelus into Rosh HaYachid or directly from Rosh HaYachid into caramelus. So the only way that it's allowed would be when you pour. So when Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're allowed to do it, but you're allowed to go from the boat into the caramelus, from the boat into the sea, so how is he allowing it? Again, it can't be directly. It has to be that you're pouring it on the side of the boat. That detail that Abana don't argue on. Therefore, we see that koich of a caramelus. So that's the question. So why would it be different when you're going from the yam into the sea? You can't do that. You're carrying the bucket of water from caramelus to Rosh HaYachid. You wouldn't have the same problem the other way around if you actually poured out the bucket directly into the sea. Don't have the opposite problem. You're going from Rosh HaYachid to caramelus. Obviously, therefore, it has to be talking about that we're going along the edge, that we're pouring along the edge of the top of the boat, and it dribbles down into the water. So we see that you're not gozer on koicha when it comes to caramelus. Shmamina, good, that proves it. Because again, as Tosfos says, even the Chachamim are not arguing with Rabbi Yehuda on the basic idea. They're just arguing with him on this business where the boat is less than, where the top of the boat is less than 10 tefachim off the ground.
Achuda means the side of the boat?
Okay.
Achuda means the side of the boat?
You're asking something? Yeah.
Yeah. Achuda means the side of the boat?
Achuda means the edge. Literally means the edge. So you have the side of the boat over here. So here's the boat between my hands over here. So you have, this would be chuda. You'd pour the water on here and it would dribble down into the yam.
What's the difference between doing the side of the boat? What's the difference in doing the same thing on the side of the boat?
Well, that's what we're talking about. You do it on the side of the boat and then dribble. The point is, you can't do it directly, because if you do it, if you just lean over the side and pour it directly into the water, the problem with that is that now you've moved something from Rosh HaYachid into caramelus, and you can't do that. Okay, but
why not? What's the problem?
Directly, it's happening by means of his koyach, where he's pouring it on the top edge and it dribbles down into the water. So okay, of course it's inevitably going to dribble in. It's sikresha, but it doesn't matter. When it comes to caramelus, we're not making that zeta. We don't have a problem with that. Okay.
What is the problem from?
Hani bitsosa demishan. So Rav Huna says these bits. It's fine. It's fine. We don't need a diagram. Hani bitsosa demishan. These little boats, these little canoes of Mishon. Mishon is an area in Babel. The Gemara mentions it in a number of places. Apparently, it was a very swampy area. So they used to use a very swampy, rivery area or whatever. So they used to use little boats over there. Now, Rashi describes these boats as follows. They come to a point at the bottom. So before we were talking about flat bottom boats, now we're talking about the kind that are wide at the top, and then they narrow towards the bottom like that. Now, the thing is also, the problem is like this, basically. The sides of the boat are 10 tefachim tall. The width of the boat is 4 tefachim wide. So far, so good. You should have a Rosh HaSiyofit. The problem is because of that part that narrows towards the bottom.
It's only 4 tefachim,
though? Well, there can be more than 4 tefachim. It doesn't matter. But the point is that...
The
point is that because
you mean at least 4.
At least 4. Because they narrow towards the bottom, and there you have less than 4 tefachim width. Therefore, the mechitzis cannot really be considered mechitzis. In effect, what you have is what's called mechitza tzluya. You have a hanging mechitza, and you have a hanging mechitza because the part below it, the part where it narrows, can't be considered part of the mechitza, and therefore, in effect, you have, as far as halacha is concerned, you have mechitzas that are hanging in the air there without anything underneath them, and a mechitza tzluya usually doesn't work. So therefore, in metalim behen elavar ba. Therefore, you're only allowed to carry in them within 4 amas. It could be a very big boat, but the point is, because it narrows at the bottom, therefore we consider it a camelus. Therefore we consider it a camelus because it doesn't have proper walls, because it can't be a Rosh HaSiyachid, because it doesn't have proper walls around it. Now, the question, of course, is, among others, Tosfos asked the question, so what, a camelus also needs walls around it usually. So there's an answer that Rishonim give, the Ritva talks about a couple of possibilities. One of them is that the concept that yes, a camelus usually needs walls, but when we're talking about this business of mechitza tzluya, we're going to say that as far as a camelus, any kind of wall is enough. For as long as you have a demarcated area which is 4x4 and which is 4x4 and doesn't have proper mechitzas around it, we'll call it a camelus, even though it has the size to be a Rosh HaSiyachid, but because the walls are not suitable for Rosh HaSiyachid, then therefore it sort of defaults to being a camelus. He brings also another very interesting explanation from his Rebbe, the Ra'a, who says that actually maybe the boat would be considered a makom patur, but he learns that actually a makom patur, you're also not allowed to carry more than 4 amas. Now, we usually learn that a makom patur, you're allowed to carry as much as you want. That's how the Rambam holds, that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that a makom, when you have an area defined as a makom patur, you could carry as far as you want in it, because that's the definition of makom patur. The Ritva brings that the Ra'a, his Rebbe, holds that no. The tour of a makom patur is strictly in the sense that if you move something from Rosh HaRabim into it, or from Rosh HaYochid into it, then you're not chayiv chatas, or you're not even over on Isur Drabanan. But to actually carry in more than 4 amas, that not. So that's how he learns that the boat actually would be a makom patur. Okay. Now the Gemara says v'loy amara. Now this would only apply elasheim b'pachas mishloisha arba, only if within 3 tefachim of the bottom of the boat, you still don't have a width of 4 tefachim. Avo yesh pachas megimel arba, but if within 3 tefachim of the bottom, 3 tefachim vertically from the bottom, you still have a width of 4 tefachim, then less one bar, then there's no problem, because at that point, lavud takes over. So at that point, even if these mechitzas are mechitzas tefuyas, no problem, they're within 3 tefachim of the bottom of the boat. Lavud therefore kicks in, and therefore you consider as though the walls go all the way down to the bottom. And the Gemara continues, v'imalinu kani v'urbani. Also, if you were to fill up the triangular part of the boat with sticks or with araba branches or whatever, so that you filled up that part, so now instead of having the inside of the boat just as like this, it comes to a point, instead now you filled up that area to make a sort of floor that you can walk on, then also less fun, but then there's no problem because then the part below there doesn't have to count towards the mechitzas anymore. Now at this point, all you have is a vertical mechitzas and a horizontal floor, and you have 4x10, and therefore you're good. That's how Rashi learns this whole thing. Tosfos has a number of problems with Rashi on that. One of Tosis's problems is, so what? I mean, the Gemara is going to ask is, why don't we say good achis? Why don't we say that the walls, which are 10 tefachim tall, why don't we extend them? Why don't we virtually extend them downward so they include the bottom of the boat? But how does that help? The fact is, we still have the sides of the boat, the sides of the boat are still there. They'd still block. If you had mechitzas on the outside, you'd still have that part blocking on the inside. It would be like what we learned yesterday about a pit of water, about an empty pit, rather, where you threw a machzelus into it and divided it into two, where we said now each one is not four tefachim. So how would it help? Why is the Gemara even asking over here, as the Gemara is going to ask next, that you should extend down the walls and use good achas? And also, Tosfos has a couple of other questions. So because of that, Tosfos prefers Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation. These bitsisa, whatever, are not, like Rashi says, boats that come to a point at the bottom, but rather they're more like rafts that are, they're more like rafts that are used in, that are used in ponds and things like that. In fact, they're called bitsisa because bitsay hamayim means like swamps and ponds and whatnot, and these kinds of boats are meant to go on that. What they actually have, the main point that distinguishes them from a regular boat, they don't have a solid bottom. The bottom you have, they have a frame, they have sides. The bottom of them is made of individual boards with space between them. Now, of course, that means water is going to get in, but that's not a problem because they're going in shallow water anyway. They're more meant to be a platform for like fishermen or whatever to be able to stand on.
Wow.
Yeah. So. So it's made sort of in the shape of a boat, but instead of being watertight like a boat usually would, it's made with spaces between the pieces on the bottom, so it sinks into the water, and it's just you're able to use it as a platform to stand in the water to fish or whatever. Okay, well, call it whatever you want. Whatever. The point is, Tosfos says the reason why they made it that way is this way. Even if it overturns, it's not going to sink. Because it's made of lightweight material in the first place, so that if it was made of a regular boat, if it overturned, if it capsized, it would sink because it would take in water. Like this, it's not going to take in any water if it sinks more than regular, because water was always coming in anyway. So the din is, because it doesn't have a solid bottom, it would be considered a kaimelus. But then we would say only if the space between one board and the next is less than 3 tefachim. If you have less than 3 tefachim between one board and the next, then it would be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because what would? That's how Tosfos learns the situation of these bitsiyasa. Okay. So the question is, Maski for Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman asks, why are we considering that the mechitzas that are considered like hanging over there, and you don't have anything underneath them according to Rashi, because it comes to a point, and according to Tosfos, because there is no real floor there anyway. V'lema good aches mechitzasa. Why don't we say we have a halacha l'moshe Sinai that in various cases we say that you can consider walls to be pulled down and extended down vertically, and you wind up in an area that is a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. It comes up with this. It comes up with sukkah. It comes up with a few different cases. So why don't we say that over here? And therefore, we would say that the boat is considered to be completely enclosed by walls that enclose an area 10 by 4 and that don't hang in the air, according to Rashi, or that have a floor, according to Tosfos. Mi loy tanya, wouldn't it be like what we learn in a braisa? Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda Omer, noatz kana b'shusar adam. This is another one of the ones that we had in the first part. Right? If a person sticks a stick into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, over Rosh, and the stick is 10 tefachim tall, over Rosh Traskel, at the top of the stick, there is a basket, which the basket itself is not 10 tefachim tall, the Zorach Benocha Gabav, and you threw something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it landed on top of, and it landed inside this basket, Chayev, so he would be Chayev. The basket itself is not 10 tefachim tall, and the stick is not 4 by 4 tefachim wide, but we say good achis, we take the walls of the basket and picture them as though they were extending downward, so that now you have an area, ten tefachim tall and 4 by 4, because the basket itself is 4 by 4, it's just the stick underneath it was less than 4 by 4. But good achis allows us to consider. Actually, Tosfos says that actually even then, it wouldn't mean if you threw something and it landed next to the stick, let's say, you wouldn't say, within 10 tefachim of the bottom of the stick, you wouldn't say that it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid because of good achis. You're not going to say that good achis means that the area is actually included within the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. What you're going to say, though, is it makes it as if you had a complete Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So as long as it lands in the basket, we're going to picture as though the basket itself was 10, 12 inches tall, but not that the stick underneath it is going to be considered part of that, which is a yard. Anyway, the point is, so we see we hold a good achis, so hachinami, name a good achis mechitzasa. So the question then is the same thing over here. Why don't we say good achis and say that the walls of the boat extend downward, and therefore you don't have the problem with the part that comes to the point, with the part that comes to a point, or the part that doesn't have, the part that doesn't have a floor. It should be considered like a regular rishas yachid. Why not? So maski for Rav Yosef. So that was Rav Nachman's question. So maski for Rav Yosef. So now Rav Yosef says, okay, but I have a question on Rav Nachman's question. Why are you even asking? Didn't they hear of what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab? Others say that it was in the name of Rabbi Chiya, that the Tani Allah, we learn in a braisa on that, the Chachamim poetry. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda says you'd be chayiv, but the Chachamim actually say you'd be potter. So there you go then. So it's a machlokas. So the Chachamim say you're potter. So in that case, so in the case of the traskel, they would be patterin because they don't say good achis over there. So fine, we're not going to say good achis over here in the case of the boat either. What's the problem? Amalei Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, va'at lo tisbra, what you don't hold that we do say of good achis in cases like this. Fine, this particular case maybe the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, but there is the general thing that we do hold of good achis. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa like this. Amud b'rishos rabim, if you have a pillar in rishos rabim, gavoya asara v'rochav dalid, the pillar is at least 10 tefachim tall, at least 4 tefachim wide. V'ein v'ikra dalid. The key thing is over here that the base of the pillar is not 4 tefachim wide. So the pillar has a narrow base and then it widens at some point going further up. The yesh b'kotzer shalai gimel. Now, if what happens is if that short part, meaning the part that's thinner, is at least three tefachim tall. Meaning, the point is, even though it's more than 3 tefachim tall, and therefore lavud doesn't apply, we're still going to apply good achis. The zorach v'nochav gabav, if then a person threw something and it landed on top of that pillar, he'd be chayev, amram in good achis mechitzasa. So what are we doing? We're taking and we're pulling down the walls. We're saying that further up the pillar is 4x4, therefore we're extending that down to as if it enclosed that area, which is narrower. And therefore, you wind up with a full thing that's 10x4, even though you can't apply lavud over here. So you see that good achis does work. Now, Tosfos learns a little bit differently because, after all, isn't it the same thing as the case of the traskel that we just described? You have a narrow stick, you have a basket on top of it. Why is that any different? Well, you have a narrow part, and then you have a wider pillar on top of it. So Tosfos learns differently that. What it means is, v'yesh b'kotzer shalai gimel means that, fine, the narrow part is not 4 tefachim wide, but it's at least 3 tefachim wide. So therefore, it's relevant. So therefore, it becomes relevant to say good achis. Once you have that, there you have 3, and above it you have 4, but in other words, if that narrow part was less than 3, then Tosfos says, then you actually wouldn't, because you really have no chashivos over there. You have no chashivos over there in that part at all. Therefore you have to say good achis over there. Okay.
So is that a global machlokes between if you can say good achis with less than gimel tefachim?
I don't know if it's a general machlokes. We have it over here. I don't know.
The Shulchan Aruch says it has to be gimel tefachim to say good achis.
So in this particular case, I think, in the case of the traskel, we're saying that in the case of the traskel, the corner doesn't need to be 3 tefachim wide now. So Amra Aminin good achis mechitzasa. So we see that you say good achis, hachanami good achis mechitzasa. So the same thing with the boat. You should also say good achis. Yeah, the Gemara says media area. What kind of a question is that? How are you comparing? Rashi explains this is all part of Abaya's argument to Rabbi Yosef. He's saying it's one thing. What you're trying to bring a proof from the case of Traskell. The case of Traskell is a separate case. You're saying that the Chachamim disagree and say that you are actually potter in that case. But the reason why they're potter and the reason why they don't apply good aches in that case is because of a special situation. Because over there, what you have is, when you have the case of the Traskell, you have, it's a mechitza, which is more than 3 tefachim off the ground, and goats will walk through it. So once you have goats passing through it, then you can't say good aches anymore. As opposed to, now we originally brought this up in the case of a boat. In the case of a boat, you don't have goyim going and swimming in the water underneath it. Therefore, why should you have a problem? Why shouldn't you? What would prevent you from doing good aches? When it comes to the case over here about the Omud Rishus Rabim, etc., you're not going to say Gdoyim Boikim Boy because they're not going to walk right next to the pool and like rub against the side of it. It's not normal for them to do that. Therefore, we're not going to say Gdoyim Boikim Boy in a case like that. But over here by the boat, there can't be Gdoyim Boikim because it's in the water. So in other words, that's the thing. So when it comes to the Traskell, you have goats could pass underneath it because the Traskell is wide and the corner is narrow and you have plenty of room for them to walk by without rubbing against the pole. When it comes to the Omud, then you have only a slight difference between the width below and the width above. So even though it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, you are not going to be both. But in the case of a boat, you don't have either of you. In the case of a boat, you're not going to have goyim at all. So why shouldn't you say good aches? So the Gemara says, omelet of akabred the rov levash. You've got the spin and nami ho'ikab kies goyim. So what? Okay, by a boat, you don't have goats going through underneath it, but you have fish swimming underneath it. Why shouldn't they cancel the mechitza the same way? Omelet, so Ravashi answers, the kies goyim lo shmei v'kia. Fish swimming through is not considered vikia because you can't see them. Because they're fish are an almades kasia, they're in the hidden world. So therefore the fact that they swim around over there under the part of the boat that narrows, we don't care about that. So where do you get that distinction? Taka, where do we see that fish swimming under a mechitza does not cancel it? So like this, the boy menate of Tabla. The boyman of Tavla made Robin. Rab Tavla asked Robin a question as follows: Mechitza tluya maush tater b'chorba. What if you have a broken down build, a ruined building? The walls are still partially intact, but you have big gaps in the walls. So suppose you have on one side of the building, then or one or more sides, you have walls that start coming down where you still have the bricks are still there in place. Then you have a big gap in the middle, more than 3 tefachim tall, let's say. And then you have maybe a little bit of bricks at the bottom. So fine, it's not going to be gdoyim boikim boikim because they can't walk through that. But you still have a space between the bottom and the top, more than 3 tefachim or more than 10 tefachim even. Would that still be considered a mechitza? And you would be allowed to carry in that area on Shabbos? Assuming, in other words, we're talking about that the chorba is next to Rosh Hashanah. You have a concept, which we're going to talk about extensively in Erev in Bez Hashem, that when you have a place that in and of itself would be mutter to carry in, but it's opened up to a place which is also to carry in, so then you're not allowed to carry in it either. It must make a machitza. So the question is, in this case, the schorva is next to Rosh Hashanah. So would these partially ruined walls and partially intact walls be enough to be considered where the bottom of the wall is hanging above the surface of the ground and you have that gap in the middle? Would that be enough to be able to carry in it? But Amalei and Robin answers no. Ein mechitza tloya materes ela b'mayim. No, mechitza tloya only is mater when it comes to water. Meaning, an example of that, actually brings it. First of all, we had an example before. We had the example where a person at the beginning of the sugya, where a person is in a boat, where a person is in a boat, they want to be able to draw water on Shabbos. So we said that they can make this little platform sticking off the boat. And according to Rashi and Tosfos, they make mechitzas hanging below the bottom of the platform. And then they're able to draw water. Another example of it Rashi gives is Suppose a person, not a boat, but a regular house, a person has a house with a porch sticking out over the sea or over a lake or something. Same idea. So he has a porch over there where he has a porch where throughout the week he's drawing water up through a hole in the porch and bringing it into his house. Now on Shabbos, what he can do is he can make, before Shabbos, he makes walls around the bottom of the porch. And therefore that makes, so this is called mechitza tzloya. Usually it wouldn't work because usually it's far more than 3 or even 10 tfachim above the surface of the water. But when it comes to that, the chachamim, kal hu shekelo, chachamim b'mayim, the chachamim made a kula when it comes to drawing water because water is such a necessity for people and therefore they allowed it that you can draw it even though you have mechitza tzloya over there. But only in that kind of case. Or Rashi was another example from Erevin also, where you're allowed to use Mechitza Tzloya. But the point is, only in cases like that, but not in a case like this with a Churba, which doesn't allow that. So the question is, Vamai, why should you be allowed to do that? For Ikub T.S. Dugim, again, don't you have fish swimming in under the Mechitza? So why should we consider the area? Now, what we're doing is we're not considering the whole area down to the water to be Rishus Yachid. In effect, what we're doing is we're saying you're going to be drawing the water again, like we said before with the boat. You're going to be drawing water from Karmelis through Makom Ptur, because above 10 Tfachim is going to be Makom Ptur, and then into your Rishus Yachid, and then you're going to be bringing it into your house. So that's what I'm not going to allow you to do. But the question is that still, how are these mechitzas considered mechitzas at all? Don't you have fish swimming underneath them? So we see from that that fish swimming through is not considered that they break up the mechitza, and therefore it still counts as a valid mechitza. In fact, the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Nun Hey that's precisely the kula that the Chachamim made. When we say Kalu Sheikelo Chachamim Mamayim, it's not so much that they're being Matir Mechitza Kloya. The kula is precisely this point that we're not going to consider the Kiyas Dogim to break up the Mechitza. Okay. We would do that with the Kiyas Gedoyim. If a goat is able to go through the three Tfachim or more, and a goat is able to go through, then we say it cancels the Mechitza. Right, but with Dogim, we don't say that. That itself is the Kola.
What about by Mikveh? Dogim would not puzzle a Tfila?
Boat, the kind of boat that's like a canoe where it goes narrower and narrower. Why don't we say that this is like the Trasko?
Well, that's what we're saying, because there's the Kiyas Dogim, so that's the point. In other words, when it comes to a Trasko, when it comes to the Trasko or the Amud, there's no Kiyas Gedoyim because they're not going to get that close to it. When it comes to a boat, the question was, there's not the Kiyas Gedoyim either. So then the point is, therefore, so we're saying, we wind up with the Mechitzas Tzloyas. It's not because the problem is not the fish. The problem is the narrowing of the boat over there, and therefore we were not able to say gudachis. Okay, Rashi brings an explanation from his Rebbeim that
Rabbi,
the difference is
that by a boat
there's no b'kiyas gedoyim, but when it comes to an amud there is. That Rashi's Rebbeim learned that when it comes to a pillar there is b'kiyas gedoyim. But Rashi says that doesn't really work. That doesn't really work based on other Gemaras So what it is B'kiyas Gedoyim does prevent you from saying good achis. So. In other words, Rashi says, as Rebbeim are explaining like this, when we had on Amud Aleph, when we said midi iria, and Rashi explained over there that it meant this is all part of a biased question, why are you bringing a question from Traskel and contrasting it with the boat, where there's a difference where you have the Gedoyim versus not? So Rashi says, as Rebbeim are explaining, that is actually Rabbi Yosef answering Abaya and saying that, I'm saying, Rabbi Yosef, the Chachamim disagree in the case of the Amud, in the case of the Traskel, and say that he's Potter. And you, Abaya, are answering me that after all, you have the case of the Omud where you're chayev. So Rabbi Yosef would be saying, so according to this, Rabbi Yosef would be saying, well, there's a big difference. The difference is that when it comes to an Omud, precisely because goyim boikimba, you need good achas. But by a boat, you don't need to say good achas. So Rashi says that doesn't work. It's the other way around. Not when you have goats coming through, then you need to say good achas. You don't say good achas when goats are coming through. So therefore, and Rashi has a couple of other questions on that also. So therefore, Rashi sticks with his explanation that it wasn't Rabbi Yosef answering back Abaye, it was Abaye continuing and pointing out the difference between the Omud, it's between the Omud and the Traskel versus the boat.
Rabbi.
Then we said in the Mishnah, we said if you have boats that are tied together,
Rabbi,
then you're allowed to carry from one to the other, but if they're not tied together, then not. So the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, if they're tied together, then you should be able to carry from one to the other. What's the Chiddush? Omar Rabba, when Nitzrucha El Alahat, Bitzis Shebenehen. So Rabba says, the Chiddush is, even if you have a Bitzis, like kind of these, one of these small boats that we were describing before, that's between them. So let's say you have the two boats are tied, the two larger boats are tied together. Wedged between them, you have a smaller boat. The point is that even though that smaller boat is not tied to them, you'd still be allowed to carry across between the three boats because you have it wedged between two boats that are tied together. That would be the chiddush. Amalei Safra, said Rav Safra, says to Rava, Moshe Shaper Kamet. Moshe, are you saying correctly? So what does he mean by saying Moshe? Either he means, Rashi says over here, it means Rabbeinu Bedorah to Moshe Bedorah. Yes, you're as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, but how could that be the correct explanation? Elsewhere, Rashi explains, Rashi gives a different explanation, that it means he's swearing by the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, I swear in Moshe Rabbeinu's name, how could what you're saying be correct? In many places in Chassidus, it talks about an idea that's brought from the Arizal, that every Talmud Chacham is a nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, especially the Gadol Ador, especially the greatest Talmud Chacham in the generation. Therefore, he calls him Moshe in the sense that you have a nitzutz of Moshe within you, but how could you be saying what you said? How could that be correct? The expression in the Mishnah is you're allowed to carry from one to the other, meaning directly from one to the other, not with any other boats in between. The chiddush is that once the boats are tied together, suppose they belong to two different people, you're allowed now to make an eruv between them, and then you'll be able to carry from one to the other. In other words, the assumption was, and this was what Rava was saying, that all the boats belong to one person. So Rav Safra is saying, no, the point of the Mishnah is that the boats belong to two people. In order to be able to make an Eruv, you're going to have them tied together. Otherwise, if they're next to each other, even if they're not tied, then you cannot make an Eruv between them. V'chidatanya, as in fact we learn in Abraisa. Spidus Kshuris Zubazu, if you have boats that are tied together, Ma'arvin Matalkman Zubazu, you'll be allowed to make an Eruv and you'll be allowed to carry from one boat to another. We said yesterday, provided that there's not too much space between them, if there's four tefachim of space between them, then not, because then you have camelus between them, and in particular, Tosfos talks about that you'd have a problem similar to what we talked about the other day, about throwing things from one porch to the other, where you might fall into Rosh Hashanah Abim. Here you have even more of a concern that it might fall into the water, and then you're going to end up carrying it from camelus. So therefore, they have to be tied together, and they have to be not too far apart. But Nipsiku, if the boats then get separated from each other, Nesru, then it becomes also to carry from one to the other, the Eruv is bottled. So Tosfos learns actually that this means even if it got broken up on Shabbos. Now we often have a concept in Hilchos Eruvin where we say once something was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos, but Tosfos says not over here, because we treat it as if there was a Rosh Hashanah in between them. The kind of cases where we say once it was mutter for part of Shabbos, it's mutter for all of it, is let's say you have two chatzeres, that made an Eruv, and then you had something that was set up to separate them or something. So then we say once it was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mutter for all of Shabbos.
Or maybe someone ate the
Eruv. I'm not sure if that works, but yeah, okay.
I figured out the pizza boat is like a raft.
Okay. That's what I was saying at the beginning.
How cool very
short. Okay, so I was saying, like a raft.
Yeah, I didn't picture it.
Okay, anyway, let's go.
Because the raft just floats from the flotation of the wood.
Yeah.
So
okay, so what's gone. Okay. So if they so now you have Rishonim who disagree with Tosfos on that and say that, no, if you also got broken up in the middle of Shabbos, then you would actually be allowed to continue carrying. They say that Nipsiku means if they got detached before Shabbos. Anyway, Nesru, then they become Osir. Chosru and Nipsiku, if they got tied back together on Shabbos, Ben Shogigin or Ben Mizidin, Ben Anusin, Ben Mutin, whether they were Shogig, they didn't realize that you're also to do that on Shabbos, or whether they were Mazid, or whether they were Onus, so they were somebody forced them to tie them back together, or Mutin, or they were mistaken, they were busy doing something else and accidentally they tied the boat together. Either way, Chosula, Teranation, either way they go back to the original Heter, and you're allowed to continue carrying from one to the other. So we'll see soon about Mazid, but anyway, the point is that we do have, so we see from this Braisa that if the boat, that only when the boats are tied together are you allowed to make an anchor. And the Braisa continues, b'chein machtzolos ha'prusas l'rishos ha'rabim, the same way if you have mats spread out, so Rishos ha'rabim doesn't really belong over here, what it means is Rashi describes, they spread out mats, and they use the mats to make partitions between one person and the next. So they have, each person has their own little area within an area surrounded by mats, and they set up the mats as partitions between one person and the other. They're going to be allowed to make an Erov and then be able to carry between one area and the other, because the fact that there are mats there doesn't break them up into completely separate Rishuyas, because after all, you can pass things around the mats or through them or whatever. So therefore they don't make separate Rishuyas. Niglalu, if the mats were rolled up, so now their Mechitza is gone, Nesru, then they become also to carry, because again, they have the problem that they're in an area which is now open to Rishuyas Adam or to Kamalus. If the mats were spread out again, Ben Shogin, Ben Mizidin, Ben Anusin, Ben Mutin, Chosru L'Heterin Rishon. Somebody has background noise there, if you don't mind muting yourself. So if the mats were spread back out, then again, whether it was Shogig, Mazid, Onus, or Muta, either way, then Chosrula, Teran Arishan, then they go back to their original Heter. Shekol Mechitza, Shenasa B'Shabbos, because the rule is any Mechitza that was made on Shabbos, Ben B'Shogig, Ben B'Mazid, Shema Mechitza, it still counts as a Mechitza, and you're still going to be allowed to carry within. There are details about this that we're going to learn in Averin, Best Hashem. But anyway, the point that we're getting at is that again, as long as the boats are tied together, then you're allowed to make an Averin. So that's what our mission is saying. If the boats are tied together, then you're going to be able to carry from one to the other, meaning you're going to be able to make an Averin, and then you'll be able to carry from one to the other. But if they're not tied together, then you're not going to be able to make an Averin, even though the boats are next to each other. Okay, so Gemara says, what do you mean that if the boats are tied back together, then you're going to be allowed to carry? Amy, is that so? This that we're saying, that if the mechitzas are put up on Shabbos, then it becomes a Rishos HaYachid, is only as far as throwing. In other words, if somebody now were to throw or carry from Rishos HaYachid into that area, or vice versa, then they would be chayav. They would be chayev. In other words, when we say throwing, we don't only mean throwing. The same thing would apply to carrying. The reason why we're mentioning throwing is just to stress the point. In other words, this is considered on a daraisa level of Rishos HaYachid. Therefore, so if you have, let's say, so in this case with the mats, so you have the mats were set back up on Shabbos mistakenly. Now what happens is that place becomes a Rishos HaYachid again because it's surrounded by the mats. Therefore, if you were to throw or carry something from Rishos HaRabim into it, or vice versa, then you'd be chayim. Aval l'taltol also. But you're not allowed to actually carry in there. Okay. In other words, we don't say that it's considered a Rishos HaYachid, and now you're actually allowed to carry in this place. For purposes of carrying, we're going to treat it as though it was a kaimalist, and you're not going to be allowed to carry in it. Only for purposes of being machayim. You're on a daraisa level, that we will. So according to that, the same thing should be with the boats, that if the boats were tied back together, it should be also to carry from one to the other, because it's the same thing as the mechitzas being made on Shabbos. The answer is, you're right, but Rav Meir, when Rav Nachman is talking about the case where they were put back up the mezid. So the Braisa, when it says it's allowed to continue carrying on their chosrul ha'terion rishon, is talking about where it was done b'shoyeg or onur sumuta. When we say mezidin, we're saying mezidin has a separate rule. Mezidin is it's still going to be considered a rishus yachid as far as being mechayev him if he carries from rishus ha'avonit. Yeah? But it means that but in the other cases it'll be mutter even. Even though it was done on Shabbos, because it was done b'shoigig or what have you. Tosfos mentions a couple of other possibilities. Tosfos mentions that when we say chozru l'hateru n'rishon, it means even if they were mazid. It means, in other words, that, like this, the boats are rishus yachid anyway. All the tying together is accomplishing is that now you're going to be able to make an eruv. And the whole concept of eruv is only d'rabbanan. Therefore, if you did it b'mezid, you tied back the boats together b'mezid, we're still going to allow you to continue carrying using the eruv that you made at the beginning of Shabbos. As opposed to when we deal with the matter of the mats, there you're actually turning a karmelis into a rishus yachid, and that you can't do. If it were that bad, if it was b'mezid, then you're not going to be able to carry it in on Shabbos. When we say that these boats are tied together, you're allowed to make an eruv, it doesn't mean they have to be tied together with a strong rope. Even if they're just tied together with a thin string of the kind that you use to put around the neck hole of a garment, so like the lace that you like you have, for example, on a coat. You have the drawstring that you use to draw it closed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So even you tie them together with a drawstring like that, then it'll be mutter. So the question is, Mar says, hey, Chidami, what's the scenario? If this drawstring is strong enough to keep the boats in place and they're not going to come apart, pshita, then obviously it would be the same thing as a thick rope. And if it can't hold them in the same place, amai, then why should it be considered that now it's, why should it be considered that it's considered to tie the boats together? The answer is, we are actually talking about where this little drawstring or whatever is strong enough to hold them together. So why is Shmuel telling us this? Because he wants to tell us, don't think to apply in this din the kind of thing that he would say in a different context where he would say that you need something stronger. So he wants to tell you over here it's good enough. It does have to be able to actually hold the boats together. If it's going to snap right away, then it doesn't work. But as long as it is something that can hold the boats together, it does not need to be stronger than that, unlike in a different context. Namely, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Olas, Koshra B'davar Hamamida, if a person ties up a boat with something that is able to hold the boat in place, so meaning, in other words, we're talking about that one end of the chain or whatever, so he has one end of it is in an oil mess, and the other end of it is tied to the boat. So now what happens is the chain itself is going to become tame. The one end of it, which is in the oil mess, is going to become tame, and it's going to bring the tumah to the boat. So the Mishnah says kosher b'davar hamamida, maybe la tumah. Then it brings tumah to the boat, and now the boat itself is tame as well. Now we learned back in the ninth parak that boats are not makabel tumah. However, we said there is a kind of boat there. We talk about a sfinas hayardin, a smallish kind of boat that's used in the yardin, where we said according to one opinion of. We said you can carry it on land, and he said according to one opinion over there, according to Hananya, we said it is makabel truma because you're able to transport it on land full as well, because they transport it on land and then they lower it down into the water. So like a canoe sort of. So we're talking about that kind of boat, which is able to be makabel truma. So if you tied it with something that holds it in place, maybe la truma, but davar she'en ma'amida, if you tie it with something that does not hold it up. Then does not bring truma to the boat. But Amar Shmuel v'shur v'shalshelos shabarzel. So there, Shmuel says that means it has to be tied with a chain made of iron. And then what happens is, and the reason is, l'inyan tuma hu d'chtir v'chalal cherev harayu k'cholo. So now what it is, why over there do we need an iron chain? Because l'inyan tuma hu d'chtir v'chalal cherev, when it comes to tumas nes, you have a rule that says v'chalal cherev. The pasuk says a person was killed by the sword. Now obviously a person is just a dead no matter how they were killed. So we learn from that that there's a special din of a sword or metal kalim in general that when they touch a mess, they become an avi avos ha-tuma just like the mess himself. So therefore, so now they're able to make something else, namely the boat, an avat tumah. So only when it comes to tumah do we say that cherev harayu kacholol, and therefore you need a metal chain in order for the this din to kick in. Avol inyan Shabbos, but when it comes to Shabbos, kiven yachol hamida, since all you need is something that can hold the boat in place, heker ba'almu afila b'chut asabel. All you need is something that will hold the boat, that will hold the two boats in place for Shabbos, and therefore, even if it's a thin rope, then it's good enough. Okay. I mean, you have Rishonim who learn that this concept of cherev harayu kacholol does not only apply to metal; they say it applies to other kalim as well. That they would become an avi avos ha-tuma and be able to be metamei. So they would understand that the reason why Shmuel is saying you need an iron chain over there is because you need something that will hold, Tosfos discusses it over here, that, Tosfos says, it's not maybe loss of tumah. The question is not whether we're bringing tumah from the oihel to the boat. The question is, if you have tumah on one side of the boat and you have something tahor on the other side, let's say underneath the boat, is the boat itself going to be considered an oihel and bring the tumah from one side to the other? So Shmuel is saying, if the boat is chained up with an iron chain, which is going to solidly hold it in place, then yes, it will be considered an oihel. Otherwise, it's moving, and it can't really be considered an oihel. As opposed to when it comes to Shabbos, we don't need that. All you need is that the two boats are attached together, even if they're still moving back and forth a little bit, as long as they're still attached. So that would be the difference. Right over there, you need iron, whereas over here, it's good enough to just have a thin string, as long as it actually does function to hold them together. Okay.
Alex.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Alex.
Could you hear me? Could you hear us?